Standing in the shadows, vaguely I can see a man clothed in sorrow, robed in majesty, acquainted well with grief, understanding pain, companion to the suffering, understanding shame. Standing in the shadows, now I see his face, eyes of compassion, comfort, peace, and grace. He holds out his hand, beckons me to come, take hold of who he is, God's own Son. Moving from the shadows, my eyes fixed on him, could this man who called me make me whole again? Thoughts of doubt and shame, I can barely stand, but he is my only hope, so I will touch his hand. His everlasting love conquers every fear. Satan's hold is broken, healing has come here. Standing in the shadows, you can see his face, eyes of compassion, comfort, peace, and grace. He's holding out his hands, calling you to come, take hold of who he is, Jesus. His everlasting love conquers sin and fear. Satan's hold is broken,
Thank you, Joyce. Thank you, Mary. What a powerful, powerful message for all of us in these days, this time. We turn now to our scripture reading for this Sunday morning, which is also the basis and text of the morning message. From the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, and beginning with verse 1, this is the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from John, sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that comes into the world. He was in the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Thus far, the reading of our scripture for this Sunday morning. We have entered into, as was mentioned earlier, this very precious season known as Lent. Some people refer to it as Passiontide, or the period of humility and repentance. And the theme which we have selected for this year's series is based upon a question. The question is, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And to discover answers to that question, rather than read what others said about him or are saying about him, we are asking the Lord Jesus himself through Scripture to answer the question, who are you? Last week, we looked at the text which declared very clearly in the words of Jesus, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," from the first chapter of the book of Revelation. That particular text was chosen first because in a way it is an overarching, all-encompassing statement of who the Lord Jesus really is. There, explaining, describing himself to those who would read, hear, and follow and serve him, the Lord Jesus used the very, very holy and precious covenant name for Almighty God, revealed to Moses, which we looked at last Sunday morning in the book of Exodus, because when Moses was chosen to lead the people out of bondage, out of darkness, out of Egypt, he asked the Lord a question. If I go to the people of Israel and say that you sent me, I don't know your name. What is your name? And that powerful covenant answer was given, "I am that I am." And so each time that designation is used in Scripture many, 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 many times throughout Old and New Testament, the I am of the Lord God's self-designation is a powerful statement to us of who he is. And of course, the Lord Jesus being true God, just as we read in our text for today from the first chapter of the Gospel of John, he is the Word of God. Therefore, he can say, "I am." During these final Sundays of Lent, we will keep our focus for these messages on the Gospel of John. For many years, people have studied and read and spoken about what are called the I Ams of John's Gospel. There are seven of them altogether. We will only consider five of them. And today, the word that we want to look at comes to us from the eighth chapter of the Gospel of St. John, where Jesus very, very simply declares, but powerfully says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. There he uses the designation, the covenant name of Almighty God, thus equating himself, identifying himself with the triune God, of course, with his Father and with the Holy Spirit. He also there is using the covenant name of Almighty God and is making a powerful, powerful statement, which of course immediately caused uproar among Jewish leaders, rabbis, Pharisees, Sadducees, and all. But Jesus there identifies himself, I am the light of the world. Now I want to speak with you for just a few moments today about what I entitled the principle of light. The principle of light. This principle, which is enunciated both in the Old and the New Testaments a multiplicity of times, the subject of light is brought forth. And it's, of course, in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. And I would say to you today that this principle of light is one of the foundational principles of all Scripture. It is a foundational principle, a foundational truth, and a foundational teaching. The first instance that I want to share with you, and you might want to look this up yourself, is out of the very first book of the Bible, and it is out of the first chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. This is what it says. Like the opening statement of the Gospel of John, which I read to you a few moments ago, Genesis chapter 1 begins with the same words, in the beginning. Here it is spoken, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. This is also the first instance of the use of the principle of darkness. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. That's a very key word here. Father God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So evening and the morning were the first day. Now there that principle of light is established in the opening verses of Scripture, and it continues all through even to the book of Revelation. Another instance where in the Old Testament, and it is familiar to you, but you'll hear it today in a new context, comes to us from the book of Isaiah. If you would turn with me there to Isaiah chapter 9. And we read some very, very familiar words, which were read just a few weeks ago. It says, beginning in verse 2, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, unto them a light has shined. And then if you will drop down to verse 6, the light is identified. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And on this beautiful prophecy continues. And so at the time of Isaiah, which was approximately 500 years before the coming of Christ to our earth, the prophet, along with other prophets, identified the day when the light would become a reality in our world, the light of truth and the light of Almighty God. And then another very powerful and beautiful scripture, which is quoted many, many, many times. It's written in music, in poetry, and often the text of many messages. The opening statement of Psalm 27. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It's a rather interesting word here that the Lord is equating the receiving of the light with the removal of fear. The receiving of the light of his presence and the destruction and removal of fear. But not just the removal of fear. It is a principle in Scripture that when Father God removes something from your life, as you wait upon him, he replaces what he removes with something of him far more powerful and far more meaningful for our daily lives. Now, if we move over to the New Testament, of course, there are many, many scriptures that speak of the presence of light as it relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first one that I would like you to see is, again, going back to the Gospel of John, where we began. But this time, we look at chapter 3 of the Gospel of John. And there in John chapter 3, verse 19, we read these words. And this is the commendation, that light has come into the world. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Now, these are very powerful scriptures that speak to us from Genesis through all scripture of the promise of the coming of the light, the true light that lightens the world, the created light, the very first day of creation. The first act of Father God's creation was to create light, which gives us a powerful significance to what light really and truly means in our world and for our lives. But then we come to a rather sad commentary, very, very prolific in Scripture, in which I would call the principle of darkness. The principle of darkness. Darkness in Scripture, which again moves all through the Scripture from beginning to conclusion, the principle of darkness is always equated with evil and sin. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. First of all, Romans chapter 13. I'd like you to look at that. Romans chapter 13. This is, of course, near the conclusion of Paul's letter to the Romans. And Romans 13, verse 11. This verse, which I did not know the comments that were going to be made during our time early this morning, but just think of those comments, both by Jackie and others, and how this scripture relates to that specific word. Verse 11, and do this, knowing that now it is high time to awaken out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer to us than we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and what? Put on the armor of light. There's today's dialogue video series, The Armor. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness, lust, nor strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. And then also 2 Corinthians, another scripture that I'd like you to see today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then a final scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 5, and we want to read one verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. 5, 8. For you were once in darkness. See, that word describes each of us prior to our coming to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, into our own hearts, into our own situations. And so he's speaking to all of us. You were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Now, there are a multiple additional scriptures, both Old and New Testament, that declare, explain, and put forth this principle of light, the light of Jesus Christ, often referred to as the light of truth and the light of life. And he who has the Lord Jesus within his heart, who received the Lord Jesus, has received the light. But the scriptures also declare that though the light was given, many choose to walk in darkness. I believe many walk in darkness who don't even realize that they are in darkness because of the delusion that is so rampant, past, present, and will be, of course, in the future. And we know who the author of delusion is. So what is the word for us? What is it? There's this question. What are we to do? This question keeps coming up every week as we review scriptures and circumstances and situations. The question is, it's perpetual here among us. What then are we to do? And Matthew chapter 5, I will ask you to look that up because it's a very significant scripture. This comes to us out of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus went upon a hillside and there spoke to what the Bible refers to as a multitude of people. We don't know exactly how many it takes to constitute a multitude, but we know it's a lot of people. And so there is a direction that the Lord gives to each of us today. Verse 14. You, there's that word again, you, each of us, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it will give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So you and I are called, chosen, challenged to be the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But that commandment and truth is given to us as the reflected light of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world, to pierce and to penetrate the darkness that is around. And then he says, let. That, another translation of that word is permit. Don't block. Don't stop. The light is within you if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ. But if our light is put under a bushel, in other words, if we're hiding our true identity in Christ, then our light cannot shine. So we are to permit our light to shine into the midst of darkness through our testimony, through our service to Christ, through our words of truth and the life we live each and every day. Now, I'm going to take just another, I'm very conscious of the time today because of this video presentation, and I want to stay within the boundaries of time here. I've never told you this story since I've been here these 20-some years, but this is a powerful, powerful story. Truth. It's not once upon a time. It's a truthful testimony of the power of the light of Christ. When we were first in the ministry in Cleveland at Christ the King, we only had at that time a small chapel, the large sanctuary and education. That hadn't been built. We had this small sanctuary. And one of the very first things that I was able to do when I got there was to convince the church council that it would be a very beautiful, beautiful gift if we could have what's called an eternal light hanging from the center of the chancel area. And they said, sure, it would be all right. But of course, when they got that, you had these candles that had to be replaced. There were 7-day candles. And when they found out that that light was to burn 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, they got a little nervous. They said, we thought you would light that before the service and blow it out. No. I said, it's an eternal light. It has to be lit all the time. Well, to solve the argument, one gentleman stepped up and he said, look, I'll buy an entire supply of those 7-day candles so it can be lit. So, okay, that settled that whole deal. Now, in those days, I did not know that insurance regulations required that a church be locked when it was not in session, because I believed it was the house of God and it should be open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, to whomever. But there were people worried that they might steal the sound system. I don't know. They're just nervous. But I finally, again, I convinced them, I think it was the Holy Spirit as I look back on it, to leave the church unlocked. Now, the church was located on one of the major highways into Cleveland. It was right off exit 9 of the Ohio Turnpike. It was about 1 mile up Route 10 from exit 9 of the Ohio Turnpike. And we had this gentleman that lived across the street who was in a horrible accident and left him pain-stricken in his back, and he very seldom could sleep at night. And he would spend most of the day kind of seated on a stool in front of his garage watching everything. And I think he thought he was Lord Protector of this congregation, because every time he'd say, Pastor, do you know who was in there? No. So one morning I went over to the church, and old John Garbach, he was having a fit. And he was waving his cane and hollering at me. And he said, come over here. And I said, okay, John. He said, do you know someone came in this church at 2 o'clock this morning? And he said, I couldn't get over there. They were over there for quite a while, and they didn't even turn a light on. And he said, I don't know what, you better go over there and check. They might have stolen something. You better go check. Well, I said, okay, John, I'll go over. I couldn't see that anything was removed. Nothing was disturbed. Well, about 3 days later, I got a phone call from a lady, unidentified lady. And she said, are you the pastor of Christ the King Church? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, I have called today to thank you for my life. I said, what? She said, I've called to thank you for my life. She said, I've had a terrible marriage. And my husband and I had a horrible, horrible fight last night. And I decided to end it all. I was going to get on the Ohio Turnpike, and I was going to get off at exit 9, which is in a somewhat remote area, and I was going to leave the car run, and kill myself. Well, she said, when I got off the turnpike and started down Route 10, she said there seemed to be like a voice saying to me, turn into the first church you see. Well, she said, I don't go to church, and most churches are locked all the time, but I was certain that I was given this instruction. So she said, I came to the first church. It's very close to the turnpike exit, and I drove in, and I got out of the car, and the door was unlocked. And she said, when I went in the sanctuary, the church, there was this light over the altar. And I heard a voice say, I am the light. I am the light of your life. Serve me. She said, I called to thank you for my life. Amen. Let us pray. Well, Father, we have many of us, all of us here, thank you for our lives. The created life, but the redeemed life through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if there's anyone here today who has never, ever, ever received Jesus Christ into his heart, the light of life, cause that person to come and let us pray with them today. And for those of us who've already received you, Lord Jesus, we thank you, thank you, thank you that you have saved our lives. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, fellowship of the precious Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace and with joy. Amen.